Jarasutasthavabhrishyamatapo Mahabalokena balisayanvrita Sasaingya yanad vajavaji sarati Suryana lova yuriva brarenuvi Sri Shuka uvacha Jarasutasthav abhishitya madhavo Mahabalokena baliya sabrino Sasaṃyayānāt vajavāchi sārati Suryāna lovāyuriva brevrenhuvi Shri Shuka uvacha Jarasutasthav abhishritya madhavo Mahabalokena baliya savrino Sasaṃyayānāt vajavāchi sārati Suryāna lova yuriva brarenuvi Shukadev Goswami said, Jarasutha, the son of Jara, Tao, the two of them, Abhrishya, going up to, Madhavo, the descendants of Madhu, Maha, great, Bala, of military prowess, Ogena, with a flood, Baliyasha, powerful, Avrinot, surrounded, Sa, with, Sainya, soldiers, Yana, chariots, Vaja, flags, Vaji, horses, Sarathi, and charioteers, Surya, the sun, Analo, and a fire, Vayu, the wind, Eva, as Abhra, by clouds, Renubhi, and by particles of dust. Shukadev Goswami said, just as the wind covers the sun with clouds, or a fire with dust, the son of Jara marched toward the two descendants of Madhu, and with his huge assemblage of armies, surrounded them and their soldiers, chariots, flags, horses, and charioteers. Purport. Acharya Sridhar points out that clouds only seem to cover the sun. The sun remains shining in the vast sky, nor is the potency of fire affected by a thin covering of dust. Similarly, the covering of Jarasandha's military strength was only apparent. seeing his army tormented by the relentless and savage rain of arrows from the mass of opposing forces gathered like clouds about him, Lord Hari twanged his excellent bow, Sharanga, which both gods and demons worship. Lord Krishna took arrows from his quiver, fixed them on the bowstring, pulled back and released endless torrents of sharp shafts, which struck the enemy's chariots, elephants, horses, and infantrymen, the Lord shooting his arrows resembling a blazing circle of fire. Elephants fell to the ground, their foreheads split open. Cavalry horses fell with severed necks. Chariots fell with their horses, flags, drivers, and masters all shattered, and foot soldiers collapsed with severed arms, thighs, and shoulders. For him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the three worlds, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party. Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts. Purport: the philosopher Aristotle once argued that the Supreme God would hardly take part in human activities, since ordinary activities are unworthy of such a divine being. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti, who almost certainly never read the works of Aristotle, raises a similar point. Since Sri Krishna creates, maintains, and annihilates the entire universe, isn't it an uninteresting match when he fights against Jarasandha? The answer is as follows. The Lord plays the part of a human being, and expanding his pleasure potency creates thrilling transcendental pastimes full of suspense and dynamic action. By the Lord's yogamaya potency, he appears exactly like a human being, and thus we may enjoy the spectacle of the Supreme Person acting on the earthly stage. Undoubtedly, stubborn agnostics will argue that since Krishna is God, there is no real suspense involved. Such skeptics simply do not understand Krishna's all-attractive potency. Beauty and drama, even on the material stage, possess their own fascinating logic. And similarly, we love Krishna for his own sake. We appreciate his beauty for its own sake. And we enjoy Krishna's pastimes because they are in fact wonderful in and of themselves. In fact, Krishna executes his pastimes not for a mundane egotistical purpose, but for our pleasure. Thus, the presentation of spiritual pastimes is in itself an act of love that Krishna performs for the infinite spiritual happiness of pure-hearted souls who have transcended material envy of the Godhead. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes an important verse from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. The absolute truth for his own purpose appears in a human form life, human-like form, although he is the source of everything. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam we find, Yan Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become our friend. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam sagra jatam sagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sarvaitam savadutam harijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sya Vansha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम Shukadev Goswami is here giving the beautiful description of Jarasandha's terrible attack upon Krishna and Balaram, their armies. And of course we know that the ultimate motivation of Jarasandha was that every single man, woman, and child of the Yadu dynasty be ruthlessly slaughtered by him and his soldiers. He vowed that he would destroy Krishna and his whole race. Asti and Prapti, the two daughters of Jarasandha, came crying to him, "Death is Krishna. He is such an evil, terrible person. Our husband Kamsa was so good, so generous, so kind, and yet, for no reason at all, completely unfair by all proper codes of conduct, unexpectedly, they killed our husband. So blind they were by their attachment to him that they could not see that Kamsa imprisoned his own sister and brother-in-law for no reason except his attachment to his own sense gratification. He killed ruthlessly 6 innocent infant baby children of Devaki. Every day he was sending terrible demons to Vrindavan, Putana, Trinavarta, Sakatasura, Vatsasura, Bakasura, Aghasura, Pralambasura, Aristasura, Keshi, Vyomasura, so many demons, terrible mystic-powered personalities, and they were all coming to kill this little child, Krishna, with no warning, and to destroy all the inhabitants of Brajbhumi. And when all of that failed, in a very mannerly and polite way, he invited Krishna to Mathura for a wrestling match with the intent that the elephant Kuvalya Pita will destroy Krishna and Balaram. And if that didn't work, the two greatest, most powerful champion wrestlers, Chanur and Mustika, would kill. And after Krishna even killed all of them, Kamsa, he ordered the Devaki, Vasudev, Ugrasena, Krishna, Balaram, all the gopis and all the gopas present be slaughtered by his soldiers. At that time, Krishna, to protect his devotees and to finally, after all these years, put an end to this demoniac injustice, he grabbed the Kamsa by the hair, took him into the wrestling arena. In the wrestling arena, it became a fair fight. Kamsa had every opportunity to defend himself. But Krishna dragged him to the ground, climbed upon his mighty form, which was more powerful than 10,000 elephants, and with one striking blow to the chest, Kamsa was dead. But of course, Asti and Prapti, they were blinded by their material affection, and they were thinking that Krishna is so evil and bad, so unfair, and our husband was just an innocent victim. And Jarasandha, seeing that his daughters were so sorrowful, that they had become widows, he vowed that I will kill this Krishna and Balaram, and I will exterminate their entire dynasty of Yadu. So he marched upon the citizens of Dwarka with 23 Akshohini divisions of soldiers. His army alone was bigger than both the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Much bigger. And they surrounded the whole city of Mathura. And Krishna and Balaram, they came out of the city. And when they came out, they just took a few soldiers with them, just as a formality. And Jarasandha began to condemn Krishna and Balaram. He started blaspheming Krishna. You are wretched, you are lowly, you are a murderer of your own relatives. It is below my dignity to even waste my time fighting with such a low-class person as you, Krishna. But Balaram, I'll fight with you. Prepare for my arrows to slay you. Or you may slay me also. Let us see. At that time, Krishna and Balaram, they were covered by all of the armies and weapons which came upon them by Jarasandha and his massive armies. Shukadev Goswami explains here, just like a cloud covers the sun, or like dust covers fire, Krishna, for the sake of his divine lila, sometimes allows demoniac forces and even the material energy to appear to be defeating him. But why does Krishna do that? There was no reason for even one moment that Jarasandha would appear to have the upper hand. Krishna could have killed them instantly. Why he went through this whole process of fighting, his saranga bow shooting so many arrows and cutting off the heads of the elephants and cutting off the heads of the army soldiers and destroying the charioteers. Krishna, by his mere will, destroys the entire universe. By an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of the name of Lord Shankar, just by dancing, the whole universe is completely annihilated. By his glance, he can create the entire cosmic manifestation. in one of his mere expansions of Karanodakshayi Vishnu, when he simply inhales, the entire creation is destroyed. Not only is it destroyed, but it disappears utterly and enters into his body. And Krishna is the source of the power of Mahavishnu. How is it that such a personality, by whose mere inhalation annihilates the entire creation, has to go through all of this trouble of fighting with bows and arrows against one insignificant little insect creature like Jarasandha? If Jarasandha was in the world today, he could conquer the entire earth without any question. The politicians and political leaders today are nothing compared to him. He was actually a Kshatriya. Today, the so-called political heads, they sit in their bomb shelters with nice wine and good drinks and luxurious foods and family members all around them, and they send all the young people of their society, the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old children, into the battlefields to fight and be killed on their behalf. There is no such thing as Kshatriyas today. They are all cowards. A real Kshatriya, if he's willing to send anyone to the battlefield, he'll lead the battle. He'll be first one with his weapons. Jarasandha was such a person. He was in front of his enemy lines. He had the power of 10,000 elephants. He was master at all weapons. And he had defeated everyone who ever came before him. And he was fearless, courageous. He was a real hero. The only problem is he was an envious demon. He wanted to enjoy his own egoistic desires to control and lord it over material nature. Can you imagine if he was a devotee? He would be like Maharaj Yudhisthira. But what is the difference? Yudhisthira is glorified and Jarasandha is condemned simply because one was humble and one was proud. So, this Jarasandha, he attacked Krishna. And Krishna enacted this wonderful battle just so that Shukadeva Goswami could explain it all in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we could be reading it today. Because if Krishna just did everything by his inhalations and exhalations, there wouldn't be much variety. There wouldn't be much transcendental subject matter to keep our minds always at the edge of our seats, thinking, oh, Krishna, you are so wonderful. So Krishna appears like an ordinary human being, but he performs superhuman activities just for lila, just for the sake of transcendental pleasure, to give pleasure to us. Because when we hear about the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, naturally, our heart becomes more and more and more attracted to the Lord. And to the degree we become attracted to Krishna and his divine prowess, to that degree we naturally become detached from all material enjoyment and illusion. Many impersonal philosophers who do not take very seriously the pastimes of the Lord, they try simply through the process of mental discrimination and tapasya to withdraw their mind and senses from all material duality. But it is very difficult. In fact, it is practically impossible. Therefore, Krishna gives us a higher process. Tani Saravani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matvara Vasehi Asyendriyani Tasya Pragyapritishtata. Yes, you must restrain your senses and mind from material objects, but simultaneously fix your mind on me. And to make it accessible, Krishna has come to this world through so many incarnations to perform such wonderful, wonderful pastimes just so that we can always fix our mind on him. When Lord Varahadeva appeared, do you think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to lift the earth out of the ocean, it was any difficulty? All he would have had to do is, just by his will, say, "Earth, come out of the ocean." He's the source of the law of gravity. He could do anything he likes, and the earth would just come up. If he did not want Hiranyaksha to be able to submerge the earth in the earth ocean, he could have prevented him. All he had to do is, he's the Paramatma in Hiranyaksha's heart. With his Sudarshan Chakra, he could have just cut some of the veins of his heart, and Hiranyaksha would have fallen dead. Hiranyaksha couldn't have fought the Lord in his heart. If the Paramatma just took a Sudarshan Chakra and said, "All right, Hiranyaksha, I'm going to cut your heart veins and kill you," what is he going to do? Take his club and start beating his heart? He'd kill himself. What could he do? Krishna doesn't need any external help. But yet he allowed Hiranyaksha to throw the earth into the ocean. And then he came as a gigantic boar, Varahadev. Huge, gigantic, wonderful boar. And he picked up the earth between his tusks. Just to please us, he did like this. Just so, even today, millions and millions of years later, this took place near the beginning of the creation in the Satyayuga. But we're still talking about Lord Varahadev. Every year we are still celebrating Varaha Dwadasi. Huh? If he would have done it any other way, we wouldn't have this great pleasure, this great fortune. So Krishna performs these wonderful pastimes just to give us so much opportunity to hear and chant his glories and to keep our consciousness on his wonderful, beautiful pastimes. And we're about to read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna effortlessly slaughters all the 23 Akshohini divisions of soldiers of Jarasandha. And he gives them all liberation. Anyone who is directly and personally killed by Krishna is liberated. Such a wonderful benediction. And he allows Jarasandha to live, just so that he can again and again and again bring the demons from all over the world for Krishna to give liberation to. But in this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna appears in an incarnation which is most attractive, most merciful. And that is the same Krishna and Balaram that came out to fight with Jarasandha appeared as Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prajendra Nandana Jay Shakshi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. We are reading today how Balaram and Krishna came out to face Jarasandha. And those same two personalities appeared in Sri Navadvip Dham. But they did not come with the weapons of the Saranga bow and the Sudarshan Chakra and the Gada. They came with the weapons of Harinam. This was their Ashtra, Hari Kirtan. And how even the greatest and most terrible demons, they were not killed, but they were converted into pure saintly devotees through the weapon of Harinam. We are reading about Jarasandha. That same Jarasandha appeared. The same Kamsa appeared in the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One was the Chand Kazi, and one was the Nawab Husayn Shah. They were Jarasandha and Kamsa. In the story of Chand Kazi, he also, just like Jarasandha, he was about to annihilate all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. What is all this nonsense chanting I hear? I can't even sleep at night. I'm always hearing these murdanga drums and these karatals and this loud, tumultuous roar of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the Muslim priests, they were telling Chand Kazi himself was a high priest, that he's ruining our religion. He's getting all of our high-class people to be doing these low-class activities of chanting Hare Krishna. So he ordered no more chanting Harinam. He made it a law. And if anyone is caught, I will beat them, imprison them, plunder all their wealth. And not only that, I will take their whole families and all their relatives and I will put them in jail. Anyone who I catch in any way chanting Harinam. The devotees were very frightened. What to do? Chand Kazi is in control of huge armies. He's the government. We are only a few Vaishnavas. Peace-loving, humble. We're not fighters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you just go and do your Harinam. Don't worry about him. This is the order of Gurudev. Don't worry about him. He's very angry though. So they went to do Harinam, and Chand Kazi personally, when he saw this, he was so angry, he picked up the murdanga drum and crashed it to the ground. And with torrential fury, he condemned them. If I ever see or hear any of you doing this again, you will be finished. The devotees were very much concerned. What about my wife? What about my children? What about my home? Is it my position to subject risk and danger to all of them? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't worry about it. You just go out and chant Harinam. I will protect you. But then the devotees he saw in their hearts, they were a little disturbed. So he said, I will lead the Harinam party tonight. And with torches, they lit up the sky of Navadvip. And so many tens and thousands of people joined the Hari Kirtan as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced. And he went to all of the marketplaces and all of the bathing ghats on the banks of the river Ganga. And alas, they approached the house of Chand Kazi. And when he saw so many multitudes of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of devotees surrounding his house chanting Harinam, no one had any weapons. They were all just chanting Harinam. He became so afraid. He was hiding in a secluded part of his house. And Mahaprabhu went to the door with some of his associates, knocked on the door. Where is the Chand Kazi? I want to speak to him. Bring him here. Chand Kazi appeared. He said, actually, Lord Gauranga, you know, your grandfather, Father Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur and my grandfather, they were good friends, so actually I'm like your uncle and you're like my cousin, so actually we're intimate friends, I think. Yes, of course. But if we're intimate friends, why are you breaking my mridangas and you're harassing my devotees? And they began to discuss, and Mahaprabhu began on the basis of the Quran to explain how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that you should give up slaughtering animals and drinking their blood and eating their meat because the cow is your mother and Krishna is the Supreme Father. John Kazi, who was actually Kamsa, upon hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon seeing his beauty, upon witnessing the glorious Vaishnavas chanting Harinam, his heart became so soft. He explained that after I broke that drum, I had a dream. One night, this terrible-looking, ferocious creature who was half man and half lion leaped upon my chest and started ripping me open with his nails, saying that you have disturbed my devotees, and therefore I will tear you apart. And he said, but because you have not done too much against them, I will spare your life now, but never do it again. And then Chankazi said, actually, I can understand, Lo Gauranga, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I surrender to you. And I will start chanting Harinam. And I vow that as long as my descendants rule the city of Navadweep, no one will ever disturb the congregational chanting of the holy name. So Krishna took Kamsa, dragged him down and beat upon him and killed him and gave him liberation. But as Lord Sri Gaurasundar Mahaprabhu, that same Kamsa was given prema bhakti, pure love of God, through the weapon of Harinam Sankirtan. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauri Vaishnava. And we read about Jagai and Madhai. In previous incarnations, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were killed. Lord Narasimhadev ripped apart Hiranyakashipu, tore his body to pieces, put his bloody intestines around his own neck as a garland, and threw him down to the ground. And Varahadev, with his mighty tusk, he pierced Hiranyaksha. Simultaneously, he hit him with his hoof, and Hiranyaksha fell like a tree struck by a hurricane, dead. Rivo! And then they came again, Jai and Vijay. They came as Kumbhakarna and Ravan. Ravana, Lord Sri Ramchandra, he took an arrow and pierced his heart, and blood just started gushing from his mouth, and his eyeballs started popping from his head, and he fell to the ground dead. Rivo! And Kumbhakarna, Lord Ramchandra severed his terrible, mighty arms from his body, severed his legs from his body, covered his mouth with arrows, and with a crescent arrow chopped his head off and sent his head to just create a terrible, bloody mess blocking the main gate of Sri Lanka. Rivo! And Dantavakra, Krishna just smashed him and he fell to the ground, vomiting blood, dead. Harivo! Krishna consciousness is so sublime. Peace, peace, peace. Shanti, shanti, shanti. And Shishupal, Shishupal, right in the assembly of all the great heroes of the Kuru dynasty, he took a Sudarshan chakra and sliced off his head, and he fell to the ground dead. Hari-ho. So those same personalities appeared as Jagai and Madhai, more ferocious than they had ever appeared before. But in this incarnation of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did not rip them open with their nails. They did not pierce them with their tusks. They did not chop their heads off with Sudarshan chakras, pierce their hearts with arrows, crush their skull with fists or clubs. Jagai and Madhai, although they attacked Balaramji, Nityananda Prabhu, smashed him on the head with earthen pot, causing blood to flow, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were so kind, they were so merciful, that with their compassion and forgiveness, they somehow or other persuaded these two demons to take the name of Krishna. And that name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. It cleansed their hearts. It killed all of their sinful propensities. And they became perfect, pure devotees. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal. In this incarnation, the Lord made them devotees. So humble, so gentle. They became perfectly celibate brahmacharis, always bowing down before the devotees. Madhai was so upset. He was so guilty that even though Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, you have relieved me of all my sins and given me pure devotional service and given me the association of all of the Vaishnavas, still I cannot forget the fact that I smashed you on the head with that pot and made you bleed. And it's causing too much grief to my heart. I cannot forget it even for a second. Madhai was speaking like this to Nityananda Prabhu. You are so powerful and great. When Romaharshan Sutta in the forest of Naimasaranya just disrespected you in your form of Balaram, you took a blade of grass and just by touching his chest he was killed. You could have annihilated me. I hit you on the head and made you bleed. You could have killed me without any trouble at all. But you tolerated it. And you prayed for me and you forgave me. And you gave me love and in response to my brutal, envious attack against you, you gave me love of God. Pure devotion. How can I live with myself? What can I do to atone for this? And Lord Nityananda Prabhu told him that you serve the Vaishnavas. That's what you can do. Everyone likes to bathe in the Ganges because it's a very sanctified, purifying activity. So as a service to the Vaishnavas and Mother Ganges, make a nice ghat so people can bathe very comfortably. Keep it clean. And whoever comes, all Vaishnavas, serve them with great humble submission. So for the rest of his life, Madhai, he made a ghat with his own hands, bathing ghat. He kept it clean, nice. And every Vaishnav that would come, he would bow down to them. He would touch their feet. He would beg, if I have ever knowingly or unknowingly committed any offense to you, please be merciful and forgive me. sometimes people who remembered their previous sinful activities, they would throw stones at Jagai and Madhai. And you know what they would do? After the stones would hit their bodies, they would pick up the stones and give them back to the person and say, please throw it again. I deserve more. This was their humility. They became such perfect devotees, such humble. The only difference between Jagai, Madhai, and ourselves is that they were just very powerful and we're just not so powerful. But the same tendencies are within our hearts. Envy, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion. What to do? In the age of Kali Yuga, there's one thing we can do. We can go to Navadvip Dham and we can take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Mitai Gaura Chandra. That we will not find anywhere throughout the history of any scriptures of two more supremely merciful personalities than Nitai Gaura Chandra. So why are we going to Sri Navadvip Dham? We are not going on a vacation. We are not going to enjoy the scenic atmosphere of Bengal. We are going because we have no alternative in this age of Kali Yuga than to completely take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Hope against hope. Even Rupan Sanatan prayed like this. Rupan Sanatan prayed, we are lower than Jagai and Madhai. To deliver Jagai and Madhai, Mahaprabhu, is not difficult for you. But they never became the servants of low-class people like us. Rupan Sanatan said, we have no hope of receiving God's grace. But you are so merciful. Even though to expect your mercy is like a dwarf expecting to touch the moon with his finger. Still, you are Patita Pavan Avatar. We have no other hope. We have no other alternative than to simply pray for your mercy. It is in this mood that we are going to Sri Navadvip Dham. We are going for our purification. We are going to take shelter utterly of the lotus feet of the two most merciful and munificent avatars of Nityanand Prabhu and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And how will we take shelter? By sincerely praying for their mercy in each holy place. By following in the footsteps of Jagai and Madhai and atoning for all of our offense by humbly serving the Vaishnavas. Not putting ourselves first, but putting ourselves last as the servant of all other Vaishnavas. And most of all, by performing the supreme sacrifice of the age of Kali, to enthusiastically and attentively chant the holy names of the Lord. Vrindavan Dham is the holy land of Radha and Krishna, but it is very confidential. And it is said that if you make offenses in Vrindavan Dham, it is very difficult to ever achieve love of God. And we are so offensive. But Navadvip Dham is none different than Vrindavan, with one exception, that Nityanand Prabhu and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they do not consider your offenses. They only consider your sincere desire to serve them. So it is the most suitable and most powerful of all dhams in this age of Kali. Why? It is not that Lord Gaurasundar appeared 500 years ago. It is a place where he is eternally residing. He appeared to everyone's earthly vision 500 years ago. But all of his divine pastimes are forever being enacted in the holy land of Navadvip. He appeared in Mayapur, and he will appear to anyone whose eyes are anointed with the salve of humble devotion. So we are going to Sri Navadvip Dham for the purpose of devotional service, of purification, of seeking shelter in the most suitable place in all of creation for shelter, at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda and their devotees. We should not take it cheaply. It's actually the most precious and glorious opportunity. And just so that we do not take it so cheaply, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, who's even the controller of Indian railways, is making it a little difficult. So that we have to really pray, please do not cancel the train, my Lord. Give me the chance to come to Navadvip. It's not an easy thing. We have one of the big executive managers, Mr. Chopra. He is one of Indian Railways' presiding deities. And we also have Murari Hari and Radhakant and Ramchandra, so many railway officers. But yet, their influences are useless when it comes to making the train on time today. Krishna is the supreme controller of everything. And whatever he does in the lives of the devotees is only to increase their longing to serve him and to be with him. So this is all Krishna's wonderful arrangement. We should be longing so much for the chance to serve the Lord, to chant his name, to serve the holy Dham, and to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Nithai Gaurachandra. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nithai. Lochandas Thakur has sung like this, that my dear brothers and sisters, there is no greater purpose in life than simply always remembering the mercy of these two great souls, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us go as a sacrifice, as an austerity, so that we can purify our hearts, so that we can do better service. What is the service that is our life and soul? To, in whatever way we are instructed, to assist in propagating the congregational chanting of the holy names. That was Nithai Gaurachandra's purpose of coming to the earth, to launch the greatest attack against material energy through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Sri Nithai Gaurachandra ki. Sri Navadvip Dham ki. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir ki. Nithai Gaura Premanandi.